We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The very last verse of this chapter is where we'll start. It's a verse we looked at, I think, just 2 weeks ago when we preached a message about hope. We're going to focus on a different attribute here that God wants to work in our lives as Christians. And so we will read 1 Corinthians 13:13. If you have your Bible and would open there, that'd be great. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. The word charity here means love. It is the Greek word that expresses the strongest form of love, the strongest word for love, the word that probably many of us have heard, the Greek word agape. Now, in the English language, we have basically one word for love. A husband tells his wife, or vice versa, I love you. And then we talk later and we say, I love pizza. You mean you feel the same way about me as you do pizza? Of course not. And the English language is quite limited with regard to the use of the word love, isn't it? And we have one word to say we extremely like something a lot, and that word is love. Certainly the way you feel about your husband or your wife, the commitment of your heart that you have toward them is not the same as what you feel toward pizza, right? And so, fortunately, in the Greek language, there are several words, but they can only be translated love, because we don't have several in the English language. Or in this case, it's translated charity in the King James, and other Bibles it's translated love, and that is the meaning of the word. It's not like charitable giving. It is the word love. It's the word agape, the strongest of the Greek words. So I will use the word love when I read this again. It says, now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is agape, God's love. In this case, God's love in human hearts and lives. Amen. God's love flowing through you and me to touch other people. Now, this chapter 13, to the natural mind, if we didn't understand the scripture, would seem to be in a strange place. It is the love chapter, but it falls sandwiched right in between two chapters on spiritual gifts. And if we didn't look at the text carefully, but just knew that, we would say, well, what does this have to do? This is out of place. What does this have to do with spiritual gifts? All of chapter 12 is about spiritual gifts. All of chapter 14 is about spiritual gifts. But if you read carefully, you'll find the last words of chapter 12 make this statement. It says, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. I'm going to take you deeper than just expressing to you, Paul says, by the Spirit of God, than just expressing to you how important spiritual gifts are. Now, he is not suggesting that love replaces spiritual gifts and we don't need spiritual gifts anymore. That would be ridiculous in the midst of his telling us that we should earnestly desire spiritual gifts, right? That we need these gifts of God flowing in the lives of people to touch other people's lives. But in the midst of that, he makes known to us that spiritual gifts, apart from the love of God being in the heart of the person ministering to others, makes the spiritual gift more of an annoyance than an effective way of touching someone's life. And so Paul now calls our attention to the importance of God's love being in your heart and my heart towards other people and in our lives for ministry. We cannot be truly impactful, truly successful, if you will, in the work of God unless our heart is filled with the love of God. Amen? And so love in our hearts, true, genuine, God-given love, is of great importance. In fact, Paul said in 1 Peter 4:8, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. He didn't say it's the only thing, but he did say it's the most important thing to have. And so as Christians, as we pray about things, as we, you know, are concerned about where we stand and our spiritual growth and our impact on other people's lives and what God wants to develop in us, we need to understand that the number one thing, the thing of greatest importance in our lives, is that we have hot, glowing, that's what fervent is, hot, glowing love one for another. He didn't qualify that by saying, above all things, we're to have love that is fervent for those who are only in our immediate family, or for those who are real nice to us, or for those who sit next to us in church only, or for those. And you can go on and on. There's no preconditions to this. That means for us, the most important thing is that we have fervent love for those who are unlovable. Because it's easy to love those who are lovable. Amen? It's easy to love flesh and blood, usually. Not always. Right? I think it's important here that we understand as we go on here what love is. There are several definitions I've used for love and definitions that can be used. I think this is a good definition, slightly different from the way I defined it 2 weeks ago when we talked about hope and focused mainly on that. But it's pretty much the same, and I think it's a reasonably good definition of what love is. And it's important we define love because, you know, I remember in the 60s they said what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And they were right, but they meant something that's different than Bible love. And so we need to know what love is. Love is a commitment to the well-being of another that moves one to willingly and generously sacrifice on their behalf. Amen? Love is God's characteristic in our lives in which we are committed to the well-being of another. Now, let's think of it in terms of another who we may not in our natural selves be committed to. Amen? But we are committed to the well-being of another. And that commitment moves us to willingly and generously sacrifice on their behalf. Love that is not expressed in action is probably not really love. It's certainly not the continuation of God's love. Think about John 3:16. Someone, Sister Diane, mentioned in her testimony. For God so loved the world that he sat in heaven and just thought how much I care about these people and did nothing about it. Wait a minute, I'm quoting from the Reverse Standard Version, aren't I? God so loved the world that he gave. God's agape for the world, for the individuals in this world, on this planet, was so great. Is so great that he sacrificed. He willingly sacrificed. He abundantly and generously sacrificed. He gave everything he could give. He gave his only begotten Son to be made sin for us and to go to the cross in our behalf so we could have life. We did not and do not deserve life. Amen? He didn't say, because these people are so wonderful and they've been so good to me and they care about me and they make sure that they acknowledge me. No, many of God's created beings even want to pretend he doesn't exist. And even if we never pretended he didn't exist, we all have had a time in our lives in which we lived as though it didn't matter that he existed. We rebelled. We were at enmity against God. Amen? That's the human nature. That's the sin nature. God didn't send his Son to die for us because we were sweet and lovable. Maybe you want to believe you are sweet and lovable, and Mama agrees. But Heavenly Father didn't say, you are sweet and lovable. You are so precious. Oh, you're just so nice. You're so warm and cuddly. God saw the truth. You and I are despicable sinners who sinned against a holy God. Sorry, Mama. Amen. You and I were born with a sin nature. You and I carried out acts of rebellion against God. God didn't love us because we behaved properly and we were good. God loved us unconditionally because he is God. Amen. And God sent his Son. God sacrificed his everything. And God says to his children who have experienced his mercy, his love, his grace, his forgiveness that we didn't deserve, we didn't earn, I want you now to show this love to everyone you know. Can you say amen? I want you to extend the same grace, the same mercy, the same sacrificial caring for the well-being of others that I have extended to you. Let me work that in your heart and your life. And God really tells us that our spiritual growth and development is not measured by how many scriptures we know and can quote. It's not measured by how many good deeds we do. It's not measured, Paul said in this chapter, because we have all knowledge and all faith that we could remove mountains. Read with me, if you would, in chapter 13 and verse 1. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Well, I've run into folks who feel like because they speak in tongues, they've arrived. If you speak in tongues and you don't have God's love flowing through your life, God said to us, it's just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. How many of you enjoy music, gospel music? We enjoy gospel music, right? How would you like it if I said, I'm going to present to you some gospel music. I'm going to play gospel music on the drums this morning. You'd be pleased, Brother John. No. Don't do that, Brother John. Okay, I'm going to. And so I get on the drum and I start banging the cymbal. Isn't this wonderful? Oh, doesn't this bless your soul? You'd be like, please. After a while, it's an annoyance. Now, I know what I'm talking about, by the way. Because I remember when I was 12, 14 years old, my brother Larry, who has less musical ability than I have, okay? He decided he was going to take drum lessons. And he was going to play in the school band and play the drums. And so he began to take drum lessons. And of course, you have to practice a lot on the drums. And so he had a snare drum set up. The only place it really could be set up, right outside my bedroom. And he had to practice so many I don't seem like hours on end a day. I don't know how long it was, but and in order to keep things quieter, you know, today they'd probably do it with an electronic drum and you could just put earphones in. Nobody hears it but you. I wish they had something like that back then. Because he would sit there by the hour. He had this rubber thing that sat on the drum that was supposed to mute the sound, but it didn't mute it anywhere near enough. And he would tap, do, 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 do. And he had to do that, it seemed like, by the hour. It's like, is there nothing else you do on the drums but that? Please stop. Right? I mean, I just didn't say, oh, that just ministers to me. That's just such wonderful music. No. Now think about that we can be speaking in tongues, and it's just like a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. It goes on in verse 2 of chapter 13. Though I have the gift of prophecy, it's a beautiful gift. We should desire it above all other gifts. But though I have that gift, though I understand all mysteries, wow, if I can explain and expound to you and speak truth and speak the mysteries of God, why, that's great, isn't it? And I have all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Wow, so you understand the mysteries of God. And you can explain those mysteries then, right? I would assume if you understand them, you can explain them. You have all knowledge and all faith. Who has all knowledge? Who has all faith? If you could have all of that, right, and you don't have love, he said, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. It doesn't amount to anything if it doesn't have love as well with it. Wow, that's pretty strong. Lord, help me to focus my spiritual growth where you focus it. My primary concern, Lord, is that I be filled with your love and act with that love that you are developing in my life toward the unlovable. Amen. Toward those whom the world, the natural thinking would say are the least deserving. You know, love impacts lives. Not every life. Some people will slap you in the face even if you show them unconditional love. And you're committed and so you're still going to have unconditional love. It doesn't mean you're not going to tell them slapping me in the face is not right. Because I'm not going to help you grow if I let you slap people in the face, right? But I'm going to continue to love you. The Bible says in the book of Jude, on some have compassion, making a difference. Do you know there are many souls that you and I, loving them unconditionally, fervently, can make a huge difference in their life? And I've experienced it. I've worked with individuals who have at times treated me in inappropriate fashions, said things to me that were mean, hurtful. You got to remember, hurting people hurt people. Doesn't mean that they want to necessarily. Doesn't mean that they are people who shouldn't be loved. It just means that they're hurting people. And I have seen some of those people not respond to love, unfortunately. But I've also seen many whom I've decided I'm going to love them unconditionally. Sometimes that will be a tough love. Sometimes it will be a love that simply prevents me from doing what the flesh would say you should do, but cause me to reach out to them anyway. And some of those individuals love Jesus today. They are serving God today. They are learning more and more how to love others, though like all of us, including myself, they may sometimes come up short. But I have not seen anybody helped by not loving them. I've seen some that you love and it doesn't help them. I've seen some that you have compassion on them and it makes a difference. But I've never seen anybody that you don't love them as a Christian and that helps them. Amen? I've never seen where God tells me as a Christian I'm supposed to not love somebody in order to help them. Instead, he tells me that above all things, 1 Peter 4:8 again, above all things have fervent love among yourselves because love covers the multitude of sins. He isn't saying that sins don't matter. He's saying that love will look beyond the sin to see the heart. Love will continue to love even when sin is present. Doesn't condone sin. It doesn't accept sin. It doesn't tolerate sin. Love does not. But God's love does not stop because of sin. His blessing does, but His love doesn't. His desire to reach that soul does not end because of sin. His commitment to their well-being does not end because of sin. Now, the hardest sin to cover, the hardest sin to overlook in the sense of, I mean, overlooking with regard to love, the one that will challenge your God-given love and perhaps show you where it needs to grow, is the sin against you. Amen? It's easy for me, or easier anyway, for me to love someone who sins against someone else than it is for me to love someone who sins against me. But God's love doesn't find it any more difficult. You see, God calls us to a standard that is far above what this world has. God calls us to a standard that is His love in us, flowing through us and touching the lives of others. Can you say amen? Covers the multitude of sins. The word multitude means a large number, a throng, a populace. Peter said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother if he sins against me? Maybe seven times? Jesus said, no, I say unto you, 70 times seven. Does that mean we keep a record and on the 491st time that someone has sinned against us, we say, okay, I'm done loving you now? No, it means the number is infinite. I will forgive you over and over and over and over again. Not because it doesn't matter, right? But because Christ's love in me moves me to do so. Sometimes that love is tough love. Amen? Sometimes it's tough love. Sometimes it has to be, I love you enough to confront you about your ways that are not helping you. They're not good. They're not pleasing. But I'm going to do it not because I'm trying to punish you, not because I don't forgive you, not because I hold a grudge, and really not because of the way you affect me per se, but because I love you and I'm concerned primarily for you. That's God's love. That's the love we want God to work in our hearts. Now, I will tell you this about tough love. When we think tough love is required, double check our thinking very carefully, very prayerfully, and make sure that it's not me instead of being God. I've had to do this over and over again. I know if I think tough love is required, I want to make sure, I better make sure, because it's easy to think that I should be tough on somebody, right? So I want to make sure this is God's heart. This is what's going to be not from me, but from the Lord to help somebody. It's not about me, primarily. It's about the individual whom God wants me to love. And how can I help them find God's love for themselves? Amen? Selfless. Oh man, somebody said, Pastor, you are challenging me with these words beyond. I can't do this, Lord. Lord, I can't do this. Pastor, I can't do it. Because it's not merely me challenging you. It's God's word. So maybe you would say, Pastor, I can't do this. And you say, Lord, I can't do this. Of course you can't. Neither can I. No human being of themselves can love the way God loves. Does that mean we abandon that? Or does it mean we ask God to do it in us and through us? The reality is there's nothing God has called us to live that we can do in and of ourselves. It is all impossible to us. But we best take that a step further and say in our heart, I can do this through Christ. Amen? If it seems like this morning I look at one person or another person, it's just there's only two small groups here this morning. I keep catching myself, and I'm especially when I look over here, there's four people there, and that's it. And I'm like, I don't want anybody to think I'm looking right at you, or I'm looking right at you. I'm not used to this small of a group on a Sunday morning. But I'm just looking at people. But God is looking at our hearts. And God wants to fill our hearts with a love that is uncommon. Amen. That is Christ's love. You see, the Word of God tells us, I'm going to read what Jesus said in John 13, verse 34 and 35. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. He says, this is brand new. This is because of Christ. You've not read this in the Old Testament. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Now somebody said, well, the Old Testament says love one another. It says love your neighbor as yourself, right? Yeah, but it doesn't say it like this. It goes on, says that you love one another, and then it says, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Nowhere in the Old Testament will you see that it says that the way Christ has loved us is the way we're to love others. This is new covenant. This is what grace can produce in the lives of those who will let God produce it in us. That we will love others the way Christ loves us. We need to know and understand. If we wonder in our hearts, how should I respond in this situation that I'm in, to this person that I deal with, to this individual that I know? And we should always wonder what's the right way to respond. We have to ask ourselves the question, how would Jesus respond in this? I thought I was very clever one time when somebody was regularly treating me horribly at work. And I begin to pray about it and ask the Lord, Lord, how would you respond to this? And then the situation was such that Jesus would never be in this situation. I said, well, Lord, you would never be in this situation to begin with. So, you know, but that doesn't exempt me from anything. If you were, how would you respond? That's the question we need to ask. How would you love? What would you do to express the love of your Father to this individual? That is what I want you to do in me and through me, and what your grace is capable of producing. I'll tell you what, God can do some things far, 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 far above what we can even think or imagine. But let's don't limit God. Let's set our sights high. Let's take Jesus' words seriously, that we are commanded and instructed to love one another the way He has loved us. And I want to do that. Amen? I want to do that. And then He went on and said this. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. By the love we have. I was thinking about that verse as I was driving to church this morning, and I remembered something. I was raised Catholic, and there are some things that the Catholic Church teaches that are far off from Scripture and some serious issues. But I will never forget, there was a few times in Catholicism that the Lord touched my heart through some things. And I remember when we were going to have what's called confirmation in the Catholic Church. And we were going to have that ritual. And there was a nun who came from Burlington, Vermont. I grew up in northern Vermont. And she would go around and train young people about their going through this ritual. It's not biblical. It's not found in the Bible. But she would train them in this. And this nun was different than any other nun I had ever met. One of the things I noted right away, well, first of all, she was different because she played the guitar. I'd never met it. I mean, I don't know what they do in the Catholic churches now, but back then it was really weird when they brought guitars in and had people playing guitars. They didn't even have that, okay? And so she played the guitar. She was a nun that played the guitar. And she never talked about Mary and praying to Mary and all that. She talked only about Jesus. Looking back, I can't help but wonder if this woman didn't have a personal relationship with Christ. She didn't really know the Lord. She didn't talk about praying to Mary. She didn't talk about praying to the saints. She talked about Jesus. And though I wasn't saved, I was being drawn throughout my childhood toward Jesus. And I got saved at the age of 19. And I remember she taught us a song I had never heard before. We didn't sing it in Mass. The song was, "And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand by hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love." I promise you she sang it better than I did. Especially since when I started singing and realized what I was doing with no music, I became quite nervous, believe it or not. And I'm trying to fight my nerves, too. Because I didn't really know I was going to sing that. At least not that much of it. But I remember that really touched me. Even back then when I didn't know Jesus. They'll know we are Christians by our love. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't have that love. I didn't have Jesus. But as I think back, I realize that song and that nun impacted my life toward Christ. Amen? That's the important thing. And that's what I'm trying to say. And I've loved that song ever since. I rarely hear it today, rarely sing it. But as I was reminded and reminiscing about that as I was coming to church this morning, I thought, that is as much Bible. That is so solid. Thank God. Amen. That God was even getting that in the midst of the Catholic Church. He was getting that in there to touch our hearts. And I'm singing, "They'll know we're Christians by our love." And I never forgot it. And I want it to be my life. I want it to be our life. I want it to be who we are. God wants it to be who we are. That they will know that we're His disciples, not because we know so much, not because of anything else we can think of, but primarily they will know that we are followers of Jesus because the love that He has permeated our hearts and our lives with flows out and touches them. And them is anybody you come in contact with and I come in contact with. Anybody that in our natural selves beyond that we might find to be quite unlovable because their ways are not good. We can have Christ give us a love for them that will often even, or at least sometimes, even if it's only once in a while, will impact them, will touch them. On some, have compassion making a difference. And if I think about what has made more difference in my life than anything else God has done, it has been when I've realized that He loves me unconditionally. Doesn't mean He tolerates all my behaviors. But He looks beyond them and loves me. And when I have realized that He loves me unconditionally, when I feel the least worthy of His love, and He shows that love to me, whether it's in a direct way or through another individual who has His love in them, that has always impacted my life more than anything else that I can think of. Man, I've had some powerful experiences in the presence of God. I've seen God do some amazing things. I've had healings that God has performed on me. Miraculous, instantaneous. Two that come to my mind right away that He has performed, that there's absolutely no question was an instantaneous, miraculous healing that only God could do in that fashion. I've felt His power, His presence, His glory. I've prayed for others and seen God marvelously touch their lives. Amen. I experience sometimes His anointing to preach His word. And there have been times when I've been at my lowest and God's anointing flows through me the greatest. And that has impacted me. But nothing has ever impacted my life and stands out the most to me like the love that Christ has shown me directly or through others at times when I literally not only felt the least deserving of it, but was the least deserving of it. There's a particular time I think of, and I think my wife would remember it, and I'm not going to go into the details, but when my wife expressed a love, there's been many times, but a love towards me that really blew me out of the water when I thought about how sacrificial that love was. I said, wow, this woman really loves me. And it wasn't just her, but it was Christ in her. Amen. God's love in us can impact others. I want to make three quick points and then close. And I won't spend a lot of time on them. The first point is that love starts with God. We really cannot express God's love to others unless we personally experience it ourselves. And we have to understand it starts with God. Beloved, 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Listen to this part now. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Another verse says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He first loved us and sent His Son to sacrifice for our sins. Verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Amen. Love starts with God. Love is the nature of God. It's who God is. We are not capable of loving properly unless that love flows into our life from God and through us. Christ, of course, as we've said, has set the example with regard to that fact that love starts with God. Second point, love involves a decision. If we're going to obey anything the Lord says, we have to decide to do so. Somebody said, well, I would, but I don't have the ability. Well, join the club. We don't have the ability to do anything God wants us to do. But that ability cannot come into our lives from God until we've come to that place to decide to do it. Because God doesn't make us do things. Ever. Amen? God is a gentleman. Remember that. God is a gentleman. God asks us to. It may be a command, but it doesn't mean that we're forced. He doesn't force us. Thank God, because we'd be in trouble, right? And force isn't the way we really can grow anyway. God knows that better than anybody. We got some little flowers growing around our property the church has purchased up in Yoder here, and you know, every time I'm there, I kind of take a look at them, and I guess they're daffodils. I thought at first they were tulips, but they're not, and they've come up and they have flowers. You know, there's nothing you can do to force those flowers to grow. You can't get in there and start pounding on the ground. Grow! Spring up and be a beautiful flower! Some of them took a long time to get through the ground because they're behind the others because we had filled a lot of dirt in there. Didn't even know the bulbs or whatever for those flowers were there. And some where we didn't fill a lot of dirt in, they came up a long time ago. They got flowers now. The ones that had to go through a lot of dirt, they're just barely poking above the ground. But I, a couple of weeks ago, checked those ones that had come up or that didn't have to go through a lot of dirt, and they had lots of buds. And I'm like, I don't even know what kind of flowers these are. I want to see. Okay, come on. You got to grow. You got to blossom. Maybe if I slap them a few times, they'll grow, right? That ain't going to work, is it? You can't force them to grow. You can nurture them. And that's exactly what God does with the system. He said, the rain has been falling. The sun has been shining a little brighter, a little warmer. And it's warming the soil, and there's nutrients in the soil, and they're growing. So when you see that something is a command, don't think that God forces you to do it. He's a gentleman. He wants to nurture you. He wants to help you to blossom. But he doesn't want you to say, well, I don't want that. Right? He wants us to make a decision to say, if this is what God wants, I want God. And so I want God to nurture my heart, work in me, to cause me to blossom as that beautiful flower. Now, maybe as a man, you say, I don't want to be a beautiful flower. Okay, well, I don't know, a beautiful stalk of wheat. Right? You want to shine for Jesus, though, don't you? And God will nurture us that we can grow and blossom and bear fruit. But we have to have a decision. I've decided I'm going to take God's word and choose this to be the way that I'm asking God to develop me to be. Love starts with God. Love is a decision. And lastly, love calls us to sacrifice. If we're going to truly love the way Christ loves, it is going to cost us something. Amen? It's going to cost us something. It will be a sacrifice. You know, it's a good sacrifice, though. Because whenever the fruit of God's Holy Spirit works through our lives, the results are a blessing. Not only to others, not only bring glory to God, it's also a blessing to you and me. Lord, I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing for it to cost me something if you give me the grace. Can you say amen? Would you stand with me to your feet? Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we're few in number here this morning, but I'm hopeful that many others have been able to hear on our live stream. And God, we know others will hear on the internet, but also, God, we pray for us who are here right now. We pray, God, that your word, your Holy Spirit would impact our lives. We pray, Father, that you would melt us in your presence, that you would get a hold of our hearts with both of your hands. Father, that you would cause us and help us to grow, to be individuals who are filled with the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you'd move in our hearts. You'd work in our lives. You would teach us what it means. And as we grow, God, you would help us to grow in this love that you would work in us, would cause us to love as Christ loves us. Father, we ask you to move by the power of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. Help us to believe that you can do the impossible in our lives and through our lives. Lord, that everything that is outside the realm, as we maybe on our own read 1 Corinthians 13 and we see the things that love is and that it is not, but Lord, help us to allow you to remove from our lives the things that love is not. And Lord, add to us those things that love is. God, we desire lama sora ba senkita na mashendo. Lord, we desire in this broken, hurting, messed up, confused world to not only speak the truth, but to speak the truth as you have taught us and commanded in love. It's not the way we say it. It's the heart that you've given us that's behind what we say. Sadly, some, Lord, have, and perhaps we at times, have spoken your truth, but it's not from a heart filled with the love of Jesus. But God, we don't want to do that. We don't want to be that. We want to speak your truth. We don't want to avoid the truth. We don't want to believe that love makes us shun the truth, not speak the truth, not confront sin, and at times confront it clearly, Lord. Love doesn't avoid that when that's what God wants, and it won't prevent us from speaking the truth. But Lord, we'll never speak your truth in a heart that's filled with unforgiveness or hatred or anything that is not of Christ. Lord, if we are filled with the love of Jesus, Father, we ask you to fill us with your love. Lord, in my life, I want to be, God, more of a loving person. Lord, more filled with your love and your grace and your mercy, and it balanced as it should be in me, Father, and flowing through me. And Lord, we want that as a church, God. We want to be individuals who truly care, who truly, Lord, love without conditions those who, Lord, are unlovable. Father, we believe that there is no more powerful force on the face of the earth than the true and genuine and holy and pure love of Jesus Christ. We ask that that love would flow through us. Amen. 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 Our altar is open. If you want to come, and I'm going to kneel and pray. If there's any of us that aren't challenged in our lives to love more, that's crazy, I think, because I certainly am. I'm simply going to kneel and pray, and I invite you, if you'd like to come. If not, make an altar at your seat. If you happen to be listening on Facebook or later on the internet, why don't you respond to God right after you've heard? And let's ask God to fill our hearts with what this world needs, the deep love of Jesus Christ flowing through us. Would you pray with me? Would you join me in prayer? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.